I have a simple thought I'd like to bring to our attention tonight, and it's been with me for a while. I wondered when I should, or if I should, speak on it while here at camp, and I think tonight would be a good time to do that. We're going to end our meeting at 9 o'clock so that we can have staff meeting immediately afterwards. Praise God. And so, I've been very much occupied with my need to be broken, and I've found myself praying that often this past year. Lord, break me. And then I began to wonder, what am I praying? What does that mean? You know, you got to be careful what you pray, because God might do it, right? God, break me. I thought about the time when I had a broken arm as a kid. I was young. I was, I don't know how old I was, maybe 4 years old. I was living in Cambria Heights, Queens. And there was a little hill in front of the apartments complex where we lived. And superintendent's son, I guess he was a teenager. I know he was much older than my brother and I. And he was playing with us, King of the Hill or something. And he pushed me down the hill and pushed my brother down. And my brother fell on my arm and broke it in three places. And that hurt. And, you know, especially when you leaned on it, you put pressure on it. And I thought, well, that's what brokenness means, that it hurts when you put pressure on it, when you lean on it. If you have a broken leg, you don't want to lean on your broken leg. You want to avoid that. And I thought, if God could break me on the inside, then I wouldn't lean on my own wisdom, on my own strength, on my own ways, but I'd lean the other direction. I'd lean on Jesus. It has to do with establishing a dependence upon the Lord. And I've prayed. Sounds like I prayed a lot of things, right? I often say I pray this and I pray that, but I do. These things come into my heart, and I pray, God, establish within my heart a greater dependence on Jesus. I mentioned the other day that one way in which we express that dependence on God is through prayer. You're not really depending on God the way you should if you don't develop some prayer life, if you don't spend some time each day just spending time with Him. And God wants to help us to do that. He wants to teach us how to lean on Jesus. He wants us to lose confidence in ourselves so that we don't lean on our own understanding. We don't lean on our own way of doing things, but we lean on Jesus. We put our trust in Him. We say, Lord, I can't, but You can. I'm not able, but You're able. And you know, as we depend, the more we depend upon Jesus, the more He's able to come to us and work in us and work through us. Jesus, in Matthew, let's find it, Matthew 21, there's a verse about being broken, and it's almost scary when you read it. And Jesus was rebuking the religious leaders who felt that they didn't really need Him, and they questioned His authority and challenged Him. And there was this self-righteousness. They felt that they were favored of God. They felt that they needed God, but not so much. And so Jesus in Matthew 21, verse 44, He says here, well, let's start with 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard His parables, they perceived that He spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on Him, they feared the multitude, because they took Him for a prophet. Here Jesus talks about a great stone, and He says, whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Well, that doesn't sound too good, but it's a lot better than the alternative. And on whomsoever this stone shall fall shall be crushed to powder. And here he was trying to make the religious leaders see that there was something in them that needed to be broken in order for God to be able to come to them. And that because of their self-righteousness and their trusting in their own works and feeling that they were able to serve God and they didn't need salvation, they didn't need Christ, that they were in danger of one day that stone coming and falling upon them and crushing them. I was speaking to Brother Ronnie Klaus. He was an interesting fellow, wasn't he, while he was here? And we got into some conversations around the table. He has a lot of stories. And he talked about, you know, how God is moving in Ethiopia and how there are miracles taking place. And I said, Brother Ron, how come we don't see that happening here in the same way? He said, that was a good question. That made me feel good. At least I came up with a good question. I don't have any answers. And then he said, you know, he said, the society here in America, he said, we're all so narcissistic. He said, we're so into ourselves. We're so self-sufficient. We're so full of ourselves that we feel that we need God, but we don't need him that much. And he said, the enemy has deceived us into letting us feel that we need God, but not so much. And you see that all around. There are people in America that feel they need God. They go to church. If you took a poll as to how many churches and in America and how many people attend church on Sunday, it might be a lot of people. The devil doesn't try to make you feel like you don't need God at all replace God with other things. But if he can make you feel like you need him, but don't go too crazy with that. Don't go too far with that. You need God, but you don't need him so much. Going to church once a week is fine. You know, praying here and there is okay. You know, you need that in your life. You know, got to send your kids to Sunday school because that's the proper way to train them. And, you know, they need to learn the golden rule and so on. But we don't really need God that much. We don't really need to give him our all. We don't need to depend on him for everything. You know, you don't have to bother God with every little problem you have. And that's the attitude among the people here. It's not just an outright rejection of God, but it's just we don't need him that much. You know, we're doing okay on our own. And then you go to other countries where people are, you know, they're living in conditions where they're in great need. I know when Brother Hans Waldvogel went to Germany after World War II, he came in contact with people who had lost everything from the war. It was terrible devastation. People were scrounging for food. They were so needy. And when he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, there were people that realized they needed God or they wouldn't survive. And God came to them. If you ever see some of the pictures and hear the stories of how God saved them and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and churches were established at that time, it was because people realized they needed God and God came to them. And Ron seemed to imply that the people in these countries, they're people that need God. They know they need God. They don't depend on themselves. They know they can't make it on their own. They can't save themselves. They can't live the Christian life. They need Jesus Christ to do it in them. And so there's a brokenness in them that causes them to lean hard on God. And God comes to those who are broken in spirit, contrite in heart, and so on. You know, we read that story of Peter in the Bible, and here's a perfect example. You know, Peter needed Jesus, but he almost had the impression that Jesus needed him more. You know, the way he responded to things and took matters into his own hands and expressed his own opinions and even tried to force his opinion on Christ sometimes. You know, when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, he said, no, you're not. Don't talk like that. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man rather than the things that be of God. And there was something in Peter of self-sufficiency. I need Jesus, but he really needs me. And I have my opinions, and I'm right. And you can't tell me that I'm wrong. And I tried to force his opinion on others, and always had to speak up, always had to put his foot in his mouth. And God had great plans for Peter's life, but he knew that that had to be broken in Peter. And Peter had to get to a place where he saw there was nothing good in him, and he needed Jesus for everything. He needed to give up his own opinions, and he needed God to fill him with his thoughts, his desires, his light. And so, when Peter told Jesus, "Everyone else may forsake you, but I'm never going to forsake you," that revealed exactly what Peter's problem was. And Jesus prayed for him, and he said, "Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, and when you're converted, I pray that your faith won't fail, and when you're converted, now go and strengthen your brethren." And Peter had no idea what he was talking about, but Jesus knew that a great trial was going to come into Peter's life, and it was absolutely necessary. If Peter was going to be the vessel God wanted him to be, there had to be a breaking. There had to be a breaking of that self in him, that strength in him. And there had to be a falling on Jesus and just casting himself upon God's mercy and seeing his need of God's grace. And so the Lord put Peter in a position where he was recognized as one of the disciples of Jesus, and of course that put fear into Peter's heart because he saw what they were doing to Jesus, and he didn't want to be tortured and ultimately crucified as Christ was. And so he denied, I don't know the Lord, I don't know, I'm not one of his disciples. And he even called down curses from heaven to prove how earnest he was. I don't know who you're talking about. And in the Gospel of Luke, it's brought out differently than the other Gospels. Something's mentioned here in Luke chapter 22 that we should look at. I don't think it says this in the other Gospels. Luke 22, verse 60 and 61, Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he spake, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus said, "You're going to deny me." And Peter said, "No, if everyone else denies you, I'm not going to." Oh, he was so sure of himself. And then it just happened. You know, we talk about coincidence. But when Peter denied the Lord for the third time, the rooster crowed again. And Jesus just so happened to be passing by as a prisoner being taken from one place to the other, maybe badly beaten, bloody. And when he heard the rooster crow, he turned and looked right at Peter. And when Peter realized that what Jesus said had come to pass, and that he had failed the Lord, and he couldn't stand up for him, and he denied even knowing him, it says something broke inside him, and he ran away, and he just wept bitter, bitter tears of remorse and regret. Now that fascinates me, just the fact that Jesus, being tortured, knowing that the worst was yet to come, he's concerned about Peter more than he's concerned about himself. And in the midst of his agony, he turns and looks at Peter, reminding him, "I prayed for you, Peter. You're going to get through this." And it was the prayers of Jesus that got him through. Peter would have lost his faith completely, would have given up on following Jesus completely. But it was that Jesus had prayed for him ahead of time. And maybe Jesus was praying for Peter while he was going through the agony that he was dealing with himself. That wouldn't surprise me. Just like him. Well, after Jesus' death, Peter was miserable. Didn't even feel worthy to be called a disciple. But after, when the day of resurrection, the Bible says Jesus appeared to Simon. And as I mentioned the other day, it doesn't tell us any details about that encounter. It was so private, so intimate, so personal. But Jesus made a special visit to Peter. And he didn't stop there. Some days later, after Jesus had appeared and disappeared and appeared and disappeared, they were fishing, and Jesus was on the shore, and I mentioned the other day, he called out to them, and they recognized that it was Jesus, and they came to shore, and they were eating fish and bread around the fire. And then Jesus got close to Peter, and he started talking to him again. And just as Peter denied the Lord three times, Jesus gave Peter a chance to reaffirm his love for Jesus three times. But Peter's attitude was totally different now. Because there's one place where when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. I'm not boasting about my love for you anymore. But I do love you. I can't deny it. That's why I was so miserable. Because I failed the one that I loved." And then Jesus just renewed his call and said, "Listen, I'm going to come to you yet. There's coming a day when the Holy Ghost," he didn't say it in these words, "but the Holy Ghost is going to get hold of you, and he's going to enable you to love me in a way that you never were able to love me before. And there's going to come a day when you are going to lay down your life for me. You're going to love me more than yourself. But it's not your love, it's God's love. In burning in your heart. And it's by the Holy Ghost. It's not your doing, Peter. You don't have it in you. But now that you're broken, now that you see how much you need God, now that you stop boasting and your opinions don't mean anything, they're all wrong. Your opinions about yourself and everybody else." And he said, that's where I want you to be. And I've heard preachers say that failure of Peter was the best thing that ever happened to him. It was the best thing that ever happened to him, because now God could use him. You know, some of your failures, if it really gets you broken before God and makes you to see that in me there's no good thing, I can't live the Christian life. My opinions, they don't amount to a hill of beans. I don't know anything. I need to get everything from God. Well, those failures can turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. Only God can do that. We talked the other day about how Jesus redeems everything that we give to him. And he turns it around for his glory. Nothing's wasted in your life. And so Peter was broken. But oh, Jesus, he looks for the broken ones so that he can come and make them whole. We sing a song in Canarsie. My daughter Bethany leads some of our worship. And there's a song that I like especially, "Make Me Broken, That I Might Be Healed." We need that. We're so full of ourselves and we think we know everything. And we're right. Everybody else is wrong. Brother Bauer said when he first came to New York, he was getting familiar with all the roads. And one day he drove up the wrong way up a one-way street. And a cop pulled him over. And the cop said, "I know, you're right, everybody else is wrong." No, actually he's supposed to go the other way. "You're wrong." I don't know if he let him get away with that. But he would tell the story and use that as an illustration. The last verse I want to look at with you is just in the Psalms. King David, he needed to be broken too, didn't he? And so in Psalm 51, after he failed the Lord, he, what a heart-searching, What repentance. What a prayer. Oh, have you ever taken this prayer and just prayed it? Have you ever gotten down before God and opened to Psalm 51 and said, have mercy on me, God. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And then in verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God, the thing that God is pleased with, the thing that God is looking for, that we're to offer him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. God can't bring healing unless there's brokenness. God can't be everything to you until you recognize you're nothing. God can't fill you with his grace until you're empty. You let him empty you of all that you hang on to. Do we need God? How much do we need God? Jesus wants to fill us with his spirit, but he's looking for empty places to fill. And maybe that's what he's doing in these days. He's breaking us. He's melting us. He's making room for himself in us. He's looking for that in each one of our hearts. And you who have been seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let God do that for you. Spend time in his presence and say, Lord, break me. Empty me. Oh God, don't let me lean on anything in myself, but establish within me a perfect, absolute dependence upon Jesus. Make me to see I need him. Make me to want him. Let my opinions, don't let me waste my time with my own thoughts and my own opinions and my own plans. But Lord, I yield it all to you. I give it all to you. I surrender all, not just a part, not half of my heart. I give it all to you, because that's what he gave to us. He gave us everything. He gave up everything for us. How can we give him less? Oh, Holy Spirit, make these things real to us. Let us see the glory of this call, Jesus, we pray. Oh, my God. God, you're doing a precious work in every one of us in these days. And Lord, we want to give you, what you're after. And we can't unless you come and take it, Lord, but we invite you to come. And we present ourselves to you as we are. And Lord, you know how to break us. We don't have to go through horrible experiences like Peter did, but you can help us to realize we need that, and we can offer ourselves to you, and you can do a work deep in our hearts, Jesus. Oh God, emptied of self, filled with you, Lord, that's what we need, that's what we want, and so we thank you. Praise God. Let's sing that song, Emptied of Self and Filled with Thee. It's in our white book, and then we'll be dismissed. I hope we can do it in a couple minutes. You know, better yet, let's do this. Let's sing, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I think we know that, most of us do. And that's a beautiful chorus and a beautiful prayer.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
reach out to him and sing it one more time. Maybe you want to lift your hands. Oh, it's our closing prayer. Make it a prayer. No one can make it a prayer but you.
Create in me a
hear our prayer. Let there be a spirit of brokenness over this camp. The girls down in the village need to be broken, even the little ones. And oh, we sure need it down here, Lord. Oh, cover this camp with your precious blood tonight. Prepare us for tomorrow. Oh, work in us all night long, Jesus. We give ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for your kind attention. Staff meeting immediately. Those that are not on staff, I ask you to please kindly exit so that they can get on with their meeting. If you want to go in the prayer room, you're welcome to do that.
Everyone's dismissed.